Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, May 19th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, in verse 29, and I'll read through the end of the chapter. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for signs, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you." When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it." One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute.' Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. When Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, wanting to catch him in something he might say. And now let's turn over to the book of Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 5. For the director of music, for pipes, a psalm of David. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful, you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. And now let's move forward to the book of Job. Today we are reading Job chapter 4. And the title in my Bible says Eliphaz. Now remember, Eliphaz is one of Job's friends who has come to comfort him and also who has come to help him wrestle through the question of, did Job sin? Is this why this catastrophe came on him? And so we'll read together Eliphaz's kind of conversation with Job. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, if someone ventures a word with you, will you be impatient? But who can keep from speaking? Think how you have instructed many, how you have strengthened feeble hands. Your words have supported those who stumbled. You have strengthened faltering knees. But now trouble comes to you and you are discouraged. It strikes you and you are dismayed. Should not your piety be your confidence and your blameless ways your hope? Consider now, who, being innocent, has ever perished? Where were the upright ever destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God they perish. At the blast of his anger they are no more. The lions may roar and growl, yet the teeth of the great lions are broken. The lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. A word was secretly brought to me. My ears caught a whisper of it. Amid disquieting dreams in the night, when deep sleep falls on people, fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end. It stopped, but I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes, and I heard a hushed voice. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can even a strong man be more pure than his maker? If God places no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who live in houses of clay, whose foundations are in the dust, who are crushed more readily than a moth. Between dawn and dusk, they are broken to pieces. Unnoticed, they perish forever. Are not the cords of their tent pulled up so that they die without wisdom? Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Today in the book of Job, Eliphaz comes to Job and he's trying to talk with him about Job and really talk to him about his sin. Remember in verse 6, he says, "Should not your piety be your confidence and your blameless ways your hope?" So in other words, if you are pious and if you're blameless, don't worry because you will not suffer. The theology of Job's day, and it even trickles down into New Testament times, many people believe that the struggles that we face in life were a direct result of sin, and that those who were righteous were always blessed by God. So Eliphaz is saying, Job, you have to have sinned because the struggle would not have come upon you. Listen to verse 7. It says this, "Consider now who, being innocent, has ever perished? Were the upright ever destroyed?" So, you know, if you were innocent, you wouldn't perish. But we know that all people have struggles in life, right? Whether they are righteous or whether they are not righteous. And we know that as believers, righteous living only occurs with the help of the Holy Spirit, and it does not preclude us from suffering. Now go back with me to verse 7 again. "Consider now, who being innocent has ever perished?" When I read that verse, I just, inside my spirit, just welled up a peace and a hope, because we have an answer to that question now, don't we? The Lord Jesus was innocent of all sin, and yet he suffered on our behalf so that we, the unrighteous, could be called the children of God. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. Holy Father, we thank you that you made a plan to save us from the beginning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for working in our lives to teach us what it means to follow Christ. Be with us today. Give us a sense of your presence with us. Would you hear our voice, as the psalm says, as we lay our request before you and wait expectantly, because we know that you hear our prayers and you aren't like the neighbor who is just annoyed by us. Rather, you open up to us and you want to provide for us. Thank you, Father, for working for our good. Help us to have your mindset, your mentality, as we walk today through your presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.